To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A recent study reports that Asian workers in Saudi Arabia are the victims of systematic abuse and discrimination. Human Rights Watch reports that foreign workers face torture, forced confessions, and unfair trials when they are accused of crimes. In some cases, workers were executed without prior notice to their embassies or families. The report documents substandard living conditions and sexual abuse of female foreign workers. Some of those female workers were serving sentences for illegal pregnancies brought on by rape. Saudi Arabia believes foreign workers in their country should abide by and be tried by Islamic laws and tradition.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation announced that $75 million of retirement funds have gone unclaimed from at least 26,000 U.S. workers. The PBGC is a government agency responsible for taking over pension obligations from bankrupt corporations, mainly in the airline, steel, and transportation industries. Nelson Lichtenstein, labor historian at UC Santa Barbara.
The bigger scandal is that hundreds and thousands of firms have systematically underfunded their pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them, foist them onto the pension board, or just, you know, declare their pension benefit at an end, moving away from defined benefit pensions in which really your fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military can get facelifts, breast enlargements, liposuction, and nose jobs, all on the taxpayer's dime. Dr. Bob Lyons, chief of plastic surgery at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2% of U.S. adults, fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more like card insurance scams. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Something major is taking place in our country that corporate chieftains don't want us talking about. No longer just blue-collar families that are seeing their jobs or to faraway havens of low-wage production shipped overseas by America's wage-busting CEOs. And joblessness is creeping quietly but relentlessly upward, ensnaring families that previously thought that they were solidly entrenched in the upper reaches of the middle class. CEOs are paranoid about any public discussion of this explosive movement, but internally, they giddily exult at the prospect of essentially abandoning our country and its middle class in order to fatten their profits on foreign workers. IBM, which is leading the way, even has coined a corporate euphemism for moving more and more of its white-collar jobs out of the country, like India, and, quote, to pick something to move offshore today. This is deliberate job destruction, but it's also much more. It's an open assault on America's middle class and on America's unifying social ethic that we're all in this together. Corporate executives and their apologists say that this is simply the immutable workings of the market and that, after all, the CEO's sole responsibility is to enrich the bottom line of top shareholders with no obligation to an American middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine. But if CEOs have no obligation to us, why should we feel any obligation to them? As they separate themselves and their corporate fortunes from the well-being of our families, communities, and country, we should begin to separate them from the special tax breaks, enormous subsidies, regulatory favors, political privileges, and all the other advantages that they've gotten from us.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuy for SelectQuote, and I just called
Cheryl Payne,
one of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuy.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuy, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Example is First Colony Preferred Best Colony 10-year term policy form 1420 and 1421 et al. Underwritten by First Colony Life Insurance Company, a GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, happy Monday, the beginning of the week here, the 9th of August. 85 days to regime change. Solidly down in the two digits. Of course, 1,071 days since 9/11. 724 days since the anthrax killer struck. Heard much about that lately? 641 days since the weapons of mass destruction claim was, hey, we gotta find those things. Yeah, we know they're there. 428 days since Valerie Plame was outed, and they're still looking for the senior administration official. Well, I guess you know you're doing something right when you get hate mail from everybody. It was just incredible. I get the normal emails from folks who listen to this program. And postings on the message board and people calling the 800 number. By the way, greetings. Tom Hartman here with you. Our number 1-866-889-8894. The website, tomhartman.com. You can drop into our chat room. It's already filling up with folks. You can just find the link off tomhartman.com. It'll take you there. And, of course, there's also our message board. Let you know, I just put up the contest today. Mike Toth has found a copy of Barbara Honegger's hardcover book, October Surprise, she being the White House insider, who in 1981 laid out what happened. Well, it was a few years after that, but it was 81 that she started writing this thing. Laid out what happened in 1980 when George Herbert Walker Bush cut a deal with the Iranians. You hold the hostages so that Carter looks bad. It'll help Reagan get elected, and it sure enough did. Carter dropped 6-7 points in the polls in the last month or two of that election cycle in 1980 because he had this failed rescue mission and to the Iranians. Until Reagan gets elected, and we'll sell you missiles, because of course the Iranians had just thrown out the Shah and they had all this armament that the United States had provided, because we were the supplier of military weaponry to Iran under the Shah of Iran, this guy that we had put into place, former CIA asset, Mr. Pahlavi. And so, you know, it worked, and at the very moment that Ronald Reagan had his hand on the Bible and was taking the oath of office, the Iranians released the hostages, their way of saying, see, we kept our end of the deal. And shortly thereafter, sure enough, the Reagan-Bush administration starts selling missiles to Iran. There's no hostages being held anywhere anymore. Anyhow, we've got the copy of the book, the original book. Yeah, when it first came out, Barbara Honegger worked in the White House. She wrote this book. The book publishing company business just a few months after the book came out, so it's a real collector's item. And we're going to give away a copy of the book to whoever most accurately and most early predicts what the October surprises will be. And, of course, there will probably be August and September and October surprise, maybe even a November surprise. You got one day in November before the election. But what the October surprise will be that the Bush administration will pull off to try and win this election, you could say steal the election. Win the election. Anyhow, whoever accurately and most early predicts, and it'll all be right there for everybody to see, because I started a thread in the radio. If you go to TomHartmann.com and click on message boards, and you get into the message board, and the top, you know, there's four sections in the radio program. One, the fourth one is partisan politics or something to that effect, and you click on that, and it's always going to be the top message right up until November 2nd. Flag them, you know, so that they remain at the top. And all you have to do is simply reply to it. Just click reply, and it'll get you in there. And on November 3rd, we will give away that book, Barbara Honegger's October Surprise. And in the meantime, if you ever see one floating around on eBay or abebooks.com or whatever, grab it, because those things are true collector's items, and it's a mind-boggling read, particularly if you're one of the younger generation who wasn't around, or at least not politically aware, in 1980, and didn't catch that dog and pony show. Amazing stuff. Which brings us to our question for this hour. Is George Bush pulling a Nixon 72 in Iraq? Now, what's a Nixon 72? Again, you know, probably half my audience does not remember what Nixon did in 1972. Oh, hey, let me just wrap this up where I started out. I said, you know you're doing right when everybody's upset about it. I wrote this piece for Common Dreams, and I mentioned it at the end of the day Friday because they had put it up on their website, commondreams.org. And I was saying, let the voter beware. Ralph Nader, let the voter beware. And my argument was, Nader's running around the country talking about how the Democrats and the Republicans don't want him participating. Actually, he's talking about how the Democrats don't want him participating because the Republicans love him participating. In fact, in Maine, they're paying people to get votes, you know, to get signatures to put him on the ballot. They did this in Michigan. They 40,000 signatures for him. So he's criticizing the Democrats now because the Republicans are helping him out big time, big time, particularly in the swing states. But that wasn't my complaint. In my opinion, my worldview, Ralph Nader is absolutely as entitled to run for president of the United States as you or me or any other American. Absolutely. I support his right to run for president. My concern, and I just, you know, I put it out in this story, and where I got started with my concern is that he's not telling the whole truth. And where I got started on this thing is one of my kids went to hear him speak. He's doing a lot of speaking on college campuses and came back to me with this, well, why don't we let, you know, why are the Republicans and Democrats so aggressive about not wanting third parties in? I mean, you know, isn't the problem the two-party system? And I got it. You know, and it's funny that Nader is going around basically blaming the fact that when a third-party candidate runs, they cause the least democratic result to happen. That is minority rule. See, the idea of democracy is majority rule. And in a republic, you know, republican democracy, a majority rule and protect the rights of minorities. And so, you know, and this the way that our electoral system works at the national level, unfortunately, and this could change with instant runoff voting, but the way it works right now is that the most democratic you can get is if you have two parties and you have two candidates and one gets, you know, 50% of the vote. I suppose if you have three and somebody gets more than 50%, then you've got a majority, right? More than 50%. And the problem is a structural one. James Madison was all upset about this in 1787 in Federalist Number 10. He talks about his solution when they were trying to sell the Constitution, trying to get the Constitution ratified. And they'd come up with this flawed constitutional system, because proportional representation hadn't been invented, where you vote for the party instead of the man. In many countries, you can go in and you vote for the Green Party. If the Green Party gets 10% of the vote, they get 10% of the seats in Parliament. And then Parliament chooses the Prime Minister. So, you know, it's if 10% of the people have a particular viewpoint, they actually get represented. In our system, if 10% of the people have a viewpoint, there's no way they're going to get represented. The most they can do is stand on the sidelines and shout and hope to threaten the main party with disaster if they don't move in their direction, which, of course, is what Nader's doing. And I think that that's an important role. I think it's a very important role. And I salute Ralph Nader for doing it. I would just like him to tell the truth about our electoral system. You can do a Google search on Ralph Nader's speech transcripts, and you'll get a couple thousand hits. Not all of them, of course, are transcripts of his speeches, but there's quite a few of his speeches on the web. Add into that the phrase proportional representation, and you get zero hits. Zero. I cannot find a single speech. Now, maybe he's given one. I can't find a single speech where Ralph Nader talks about the difference between our political party system, our electoral system, and Germany's, for example, or France's or Israel's. He just doesn't do it. And yet he goes on national TV and he goes before all these college audiences and says, you know, they wouldn't object to a third party running in Germany. They wouldn't object to a third party running in France. Why can't we have 30 parties here? That was what I objected to. So anyhow, I get all this hate mail or indignation mail, let's say. Liberals tend to be a little more indignation mail rather than, you know, I get the hate mail from the right wingers, you know, the death threats and whatnot. But, boy, it's been a busy weekend. I frankly have not been able to even reply to them. I mean, there's just been so many. How dare you pick on Ralph Nader? Ralph Nader's doing the right thing. You know, as I said, I voted for him in 2000. I support his right to run for president. I probably should have been more explicit about those things in the piece, but I thought it would come across as gratuitous. In fact, I don't think I should have. I think I said exactly what I should have said. So anyhow, that's what that is. And in the midst of this, now we've got George Bush looking like he's going to pull a Nixon 72. What's a Nixon 72? As the Associated Press reported yesterday being the 30th anniversary of Richard Nixon's resignation, they just, for release yesterday, they just transcribed at the University of Virginia's Miller Center of Public Affairs, they just transcribed one of the tapes, one of the Oval Office tapes, from Richard Nixon's secret taping system. And it was a conversation between Nixon and Kissinger during the 1972 presidential election. And essentially what they are saying to each other is, we know there's no way we can win in Vietnam. It had become a body count war, much like is going on in Iraq right now. Over the weekend, our military was sort of, I don't want to say the military was bragging about it. If Fox News was bragging about it. You know, hey, we killed 300 people. Like, isn't that great? What Americans forget is that those 300 people all have families, they all have relatives, and they are angry. I mean, the American Revolution, many people track the American Revolution not back to the the Boston Tea Party in 1873, but to the Boston Massacre. And there was just a couple of people who got shot. And they probably provoked the British into doing it. John Adams defended the British soldiers and actually got all of them but one acquitted. But that was the thing. I mean, you come over to our country and kill our people, and we're not happy that you're occupying our country anymore. That's how we reacted, and then we think it's strange that other countries react differently. So anyhow, Nixon and Kissinger are sitting around in 72 going, we can't win this war, but we got to keep it going until after the election, because we can't look weak. I'll give you the exact language right after this break. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Tom Hartman here with you, discussing solutions and not false promises. You're in the real free speech zone.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm sorry. There's nothing more we can do. No one wants to hear those devastating words from a doctor. But that's what millions of Americans suffering from diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and diabetes will be told if you vote for Ralph Nader. Americans who voted for Nader put Bush in the White House in 2000. As president, George W. put the brakes on embryonic stem cell research, which could lead to revolutionary new treatments and cures. John Kerry vows to push this research forward. George W. Bush is still taking orders from the religious right. He wants to stifle stem cell research. This time, don't help him. Don't vote for Ralph. The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research approved this message. It was not approved by any candidate, nor any candidate's committee. Visit CASCR.org.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the Project for the New American Century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Thank you. bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It was a song from that era. And a lot of us thought, I mean, we had grown up, those of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s, had grown up certain that any old day now, the nuclear bombs were going. I mean, you know, I remember in elementary school diving under my desk when the bell went off. Duck and cover raids. Cover your eyes. Stick your thumbs in your ears. So when the blast goes off, the flash won't blind you, and the boom won't burst your eardrums. And in the midst of this, 1972, Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger sitting in the Oval Office. And Richard Nixon says, South Vietnam probably can never even survive anyway. We also have to realize, Henry, that winning an election is terribly important. These transcripts just released yesterday. And Henry Kissinger, in response, says, well, what we need to have, I'm not quoting him, he's paraphrasing, we need to have a decent interval. This was Nixon's idea, I guess. It's unclear who came up with it. But the decent interval exit strategy, which basically meant, to quote the Associated Press, by propping up Saigon, the theory goes, the government could survive at least a few years on its own, and Nixon would be able to distance himself from any political fallout when it collapsed. Kissinger says, domestically in the long run, it won't help us all that much because our opponents will say we should have done it 3 years ago. He's talking about pulling out of Vietnam. This is before the 72 election. I know, says Nixon. Kissinger says, so you got to find some formula that holds the thing together a year or two, after which, after a year, Mr. President, Vietnam will be a backwater. If we settle, let's say, this October, by January 74, no one will give a damn. End quote. Henry Kissinger. These guys sitting around saying, let's stretch this war out a couple more years, which they did. Let's let another 10,000 American soldiers die, another 500,000 or 250,000, whatever it was, Vietnamese civilians die. Yeah, 2 to 3 million Vietnamese died in that war. Just so Richard Nixon can get himself reelected. Just so a Republican president could get himself reelected. The smoking gun has been found and published. And now we see Iraq. Is George Bush doing the same thing with Iraq? Rather than trying to find a reasonable exit strategy, rather than trying to actually make the country work, you'll recall when we first went in there were supposed to be elections, and Bremer called them off. We hadn't yet figured out who we wanted to be in there. You could say, well, we got to watch out for our interests. What interests? Well, our oil. Well, it's not just our oil, it turns out. It's our corporate interest. You know about the handover that wasn't, the 100 orders of L. Paul Bremer III that are still being enforced? That Paul Bremer put into effect, when he came in there, he said, okay, here's the new law. Here's the new rules. And it covers virtually every aspect of life in Iraq, from privatization of state-owned industries to whether or not you can honk your horn, and when and where. And then we wrote the interim constitution of Iraq. Well, our U.S.-appointed governing council did. And it solidifies these orders. It makes it almost impossible to overturn them. A great piece on this by Antonio Juhas in the Los Angeles Times. The handover that wasn't. Illegal orders give the U.S. a lock on Iraq's economy. And when you get the details of what Paul Bremer did in Iraq, then the rage of the Iraqis begins to make a lot more sense.
and the disaster that the Bush administration has satisfied these orders that makes it almost impossible to overturn them. A great piece on this by Antonio Juhas in the Los Angeles Times. The handover that wasn't. Illegal orders give the U.S. a lock on Iraq's economy. And when you get the details of what Paul Bremer did in Iraq, then the rage of the Iraqis begins to make a lot more sense. And the disaster that the Bush administration has set up for us for the benefit of their corporate cronies becomes frightening. Stick around. Tom Harbin with you. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news.
The bigger scandal is that hundreds and thousands of firms have systematically underfunded their pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them, foist them onto the pension board, or just, you know, declare their pension benefit at an end, moving away from defined benefit pensions in which you're guaranteed a certain amount of money to defined contribution plans in which really your fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military with plastic surgery at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2%, of U.S. adults fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer from fraud, the most common of which included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams. You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Fine idea. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Order number 39. Paul Bremer's orders. Order number 39. Privatization of Iraq's 200 state-owned enterprises. 100% foreign-owned ownership. You know, many countries around the world do not allow this. For a long time, we didn't allow it in the United States. I remember years ago, back in the 70s, I had a business. We were importing some products from Japan. We did a joint venture partnership with a little company. It was just, you know, I had a little company in Michigan. There was this little company in Japan. They had to own 51% of the stock, or the Japanese government wouldn't let us. No, I don't know if it's still that way, but it sure was in 75 or 76. And many countries around the world say, you know, if you come into our country and you want to do business, that's China, for example, you've got to have a partner. You want to do business in our country, that's fine, but a Chinese person gets to own the business, or at least the majority of it. So you can't just basically come in and strip mine our labor and resources and then take all the money home with you.
Now, that's, of course, that's, you know, the allowing corporations to do that is consistent with the conservative worldview. And, you know, corporations can do no wrong. They should be the instruments of governance. Government is the problem. People who say that either forget or never learned that in a democratic republic, a constitutionally limited democratic republic, government is us. And when anybody comes along and says, I don't think us should have any power over us. Instead, the power over us should be with the CEO of General Electric. Or, you know, the board of directors of AT&T. Then you know you're talking to somebody who's just fundamentally ignorant of basic civics. In any case, here, Iraq, privatization order number 39 not only allows 100% foreign ownership of Iraqi businesses, so I could go over to Iraq and say, you know that electric company that's supplying all the electricity to Baghdad, I'll buy that. But it also provides for national treatment, which means that I could then say, I'm going to run this, but I don't want to hire any Iraqis. I'm only going to hire people from, say, the Philippines. No, seriously. I'm only going to hire people from the Philippines. Which, by the way, is happening. I mean, there's like 20,000 Filipinos in Iraq. Why is that? Cheap labor. Cheap labor. No preferences over for local over foreign businesses. And I can say, you know, I don't even want to buy things from other Iraqi companies in order to provide the electricity. I'm not even, you know, I don't want to buy the oil from Iraq. I'm going to buy it from Saudi Arabia. No problem. In other words, the government of the Iraqi people, which is supposed to represent the Iraqi people, no longer has any power or authority to protect the Iraqi people from predators. Particularly corporate predators. Not only that, there's unrestricted tax-free remittance of all profits and other funds. What that means is that all the money that I make with that electric light company that I now own in Baghdad, which supplies the electricity to the good citizens of Baghdad, I can bring back to the United States and put in my pocket. All of it. Many countries say, you know, we'll let you do business in our country, but you got to leave some of the money here. You got to hire our people. You got to do it in a way that's of benefit to our nation. I'm sorry, that's not consistent with the new con worldview. This brave new world, this new world order that George Herbert Walker Bush declared. The new world order is not rule by we the people. It's rule by a handful of multinational corporations. And their cronies and buddies and their fully owned subsidiaries who masquerade as politicians. As Antonia Giles notes in the Los Angeles Times, this therefore it forbids Iraqis from receiving preference in the reconstruction while allowing foreign corporations, Halliburton and Bechtel, for example, to buy up Iraqi businesses, do all of the work, and send all of their money home. They cannot be required to hire Iraqis or to reinvest their money in the Iraqi economy. They can take out their investments at any time and in any amount. That's Order 39. Order 57 and 77, notes the AP, ensure the implementation of the orders by placing, I'm sorry, the Los Angeles Times, assuring placing U.S.-appointed auditors and inspectors general in every government ministry. Every government ministry. With 5-year terms and with sweeping authority over contracts, programs, employees, and regulations. Not only that, if my corporation is doing business in Iraq, let's say I've got that electric light company in Baghdad. And there's a neighborhood that isn't paying its bills. And I just say, okay, tough luck, you guys. 30% of you aren't paying your bill, we're just going to cut off the electricity the whole block. And there happens to be a hospital in that block. And people die. Can they sue me? No. No. Order number 17 grants foreign contractors, including private security firms. You know, if I hired some goons to work for me and they don't like the way that some Iraqi looks and they shoot him, kill him dead, full immunity from Iraq's laws. Immunity from Iraq's... You don't have to follow the law of the nation. Even if they kill someone or cause an environmental disaster, the injured party cannot turn to the Iraqi legal system for remedies. This is the law now in Iraq. And you think the Iraqis don't know this? You think the newspapers are not buzzing with this just because you don't read about it in the mainstream media in the United States? Trust me, the Iraqis know this stuff. They are acutely and painfully aware of it. Order number 40 allows foreign banks to purchase up to half of Iraq's banks. Order 49 drops the tax rate on corporations from 40% to a flat 15%. It also caps the income tax rate at 15%, guaranteeing that those who have will get more quickly. You're going to have a wealthy ruling class emerging very quickly in Iraq. They, of course, will be very pleased about this, which might actually ensure some stability. It won't have anything to do with democracy. Order number 12, renewed on February 24th, suspends, and quoting from the order, all tariffs, customs duties, import taxes, licensing fees, and similar surcharges for goods entering or leaving Iraq, end quote. In other words, Iraq is a free trade zone. This led to an immediate and dramatic inflow of cheap foreign consumer products, devastating local producers and sellers who were thoroughly unprepared to meet the challenge of their mammoth global competitors. Now, there's only one problem with our having gone in and changed the laws of the country of Iraq. It's a violation of international law to do so. The Hague Regulations of 1907, which we ratified, and our own U.S. Army Law of Land Warfare, say that you cannot occupy a country and go in and change their laws. That can only be done by the citizens of the country themselves once they have sovereignty. In a leaked memo, the British Attorney General, Lord Goldsmith, warned Prime Minister Tony Blair that, quote, major structural economic reforms would not be authorized by international law, end quote. But we've done it. And now, a year and a half after the invasion, you've got 2 million unemployed Iraqis. In the midst of this now, you've got this meltdown going down in Iraq, which is, I mean, large chunks of Iraq now are beyond our control. It's not just Fallujah. Large chunks of Baghdad we can't go into. The Iraqi government can't go into. The so-called Iraqi government. It's just like in Afghanistan. In the entire country of Afghanistan, we control two cities. We just had, by the way, the deadliest month in Afghanistan since the invasion of that country. Deadliest for our soldiers. So in the midst of this, you have the Bush administration trying to do a duck and cover routine. Hey, be afraid! This is their message. And they're saying, you know, instead of, hey, it's the communists, the Soviets, they're gonna fire off a missile, it's gonna you know, hide under your desk, kids. Now we're telling the kids, hide under your desk because the terrorists might get you. And not just Citibank. I mean, you have all these government officials showing up at these target sites. It's scary enough to tell everybody, look out, beware, But it's not so scary that the government officials can't go there for a photo op. What's wrong with this picture? See, the way that you do it, the way that the Clinton administration foiled dozens of attempted attacks in the United States, as outlined in the 9/11 Commission report, was by doing it quietly. So the Bush administration, you know, a week after the Democratic National Convention, Kerry's getting this incredible bounce. He shows up in Kansas City, 10,000 people show, 20,000 people show up. I mean, it's huge. John Kerry is red hot right now. And so the Bush White House, we've got this terror alert, got to put terror out of the headlines. As long as terror's in the headlines, George Bush does well. Howard Dean calls it as he sees it. Everybody goes, oh, I can't believe that little boy said the emperor has no clothes. And then it comes out the next day that the information was 4 years old. So the administration is flailing around, trying to cover their butts. And what do? They bring down an intelligence operation. Did you catch this? I mean, this is absolutely incredible. The Bush administration brought down an intelligence operation. Just crashed the thing. The Center for American Progress. Last week, U.S. officials revealed their major terror warning, timed 1 week after the Democratic National Convention, was based on old information. Now it appears that the Bush administration was so eager to reap political gain from the war on terror, it exposed an undercover al-Qaeda mole who was providing authorities with key leads to nab the terrorist group's top leadership. According to MSNBC, Mohammad Naeem Noor Khan, the suspect whose computer information led to the recent increased terror warning level, quote, had been actively cooperating with intelligence agents to help catch al-Qaeda operatives, end quote. We outed our own spy! Sort of like, you know, when we outed Valerie Plame, we brought down another counterintelligence operation, a worldwide one. Well, this guy was sending emails to terrorists because he'd been part of their network. We had caught him. We had turned him. He was working on our side. And the Bush administration leaks this so that you'll have a new set of headlines that will sort of cause people to think that maybe this information wasn't actually 4 years old. It will change the subject. Justice Department Prosecutor John Loftus says, by exposing the only deep mole we've ever had within al-Qaeda, it ruined the chance to capture dozens, if not hundreds, more. Did you hear that on the news? Odds are you didn't. I mean, this actually made the news in one sentence. You certainly won't hear it on the great right-wing talk machine. By exposing the only deep mole we have ever had within al-Qaeda, we ruined the chance to capture dozens, if not hundreds, more. Americans are not completely stupid, by the way. More than a third of Americans now believe the Bush administration would use terror warnings for its own political gain. On CNN's Late Edition, reports the Center for American Progress, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice admitted it was the Bush administration, not career intelligence officers, who opted to leak Khan's name. Rice tried to defend the White House by saying they only disclosed the name on background. Come on. On background. You're going to out our spy on background. This is such a tragedy. We've got to have regime change November 2nd. It's got to happen. 10 minutes before the hour.
Talk Tom Hartman will be speaking out in Santa Fe, New Mexico with We the People, a call to take back America, a Friday evening talk August 27th at the Santa Fe Armory for the Arts, to be followed by a Saturday, August 28th workshop called Waking Up to Personal and Global Transformation. Tom Hartman brings his wit, wisdom, and intelligence to Santa Fe the weekend of August 27th and 28th. Tom Hartman will discuss with us how America faces its greatest threat since a civil war, and Tom Hartman will look at how Western thinking, legends, and myths have caused global problems and endangered democracy and what we can do about it. To get your tickets and more information, call 505-988-2223 in Santa Fe. That's 505-988-2223 or visit greatmystery.org. Tickets for Tom Hartman are also available at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the Founding Fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Do you remember the smell of burning leaves?
I remember when the Environmental Protection Agency protected our environment.
Well, remember when one 40-hour week job was enough to support a family?
Yes, when the Department of Labor labored, well, for the laborers.
Remember when the news programs gave us the news instead of promos?
Was that when the Federal Communications Commission protected communications from monopolies?
Yeah. Oh, remember when big oil didn't control the White House?
When the Department of Energy concentrated on energy.
Not just oil.
Right. I even remember when there weren't 45 million Americans without health insurance.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And when a Medicare bill for seniors meant help for seniors, not for big drug companies and HMOs.
Uh-huh. When welfare was primarily a safety net for the poor, not profit for the big corporations.
That was back when the Internal Revenue Service served the revenue stream by taxing the rich their fair share.
And when Social Security was secure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the so-called intelligence agencies were free to report their findings without fear of offending the White House?
You mean back when our intelligence was intelligent?
Yeah. It seems we are imperfect people, which is why we need controls over the too powerful and the too rich. Isn't that the way it used to be?
Yes. When corporations only ran corporations, not the government.
Back when federal regulators actually regulated.
When the press pressed for the truth.
When the foxes weren't in charge of the hen house. Remember those times? Then you remember democracy.
Yes. Vote. Before the electronic voting machines make it impossible to assure that your vote is counted. And in the process, make democracy just a fading.
Thank you.
is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Did you see Howard Dean last night? He was filling in for Tina Brown on Topic A with Tina Brown, and he's sitting there with Bev Harris, and they hacked a voting machine. Amazing. I was just sitting there watching the Diebold Gem software, the software that tabulates and counts the votes, just, you know, stores little database spreadsheets on the hard drive, and she just goes in through the hard drive and opens the database and changes the numbers and closes it back up again, and then brings up the Gem software again, the Diebold software, and the Diebold software says, gee, somebody else won the election. And there's no way to know who did it. It was just amazing. Anyhow, back to this out Pakistanis, but the British and the Pakistanis, well, the British are certainly. And here, the New York Daily News reports, quote, British and Pakistani intelligence officials are furious with the Bush administration for unmasking their super spy, apparently to justify the Orange Alert, and for naming the other captured terror suspects. I mean, we just blew this thing wide open just so that George Bush could get a couple of days of good numbers in the polls. Pakistani Interior Minister Faisal Saleh Hayat, quote, expressed dismay that the trap they had soon, because we outed our own spy so that the Bush administration could cover their butts on this terror alert. Well, maybe they already have bin Laden, and we don't care about catching him. I mean, you know, it's a possibility. If so, the Pakistanis apparently don't know it. Pakistan has been under incredible pressure by the Bush administration to produce high-value targets around the time of the Democratic Convention, and they did, you will recall. They captured somebody that Sunday, and sure enough, Bush trots him out 6 hours before John Kerry gives his speech. Similarly, a British security official says the disclosure makes our job harder. And Jane's Defense Publications, Tim Ripley, says the whole thing smacks of either incompetence or worse. You have to ask, what are they doing compromising a deep mole within Al-Qaeda when it's so difficult to get these guys in there in the first place? What they're doing, Tim, is trying to win an election. And this is the scary thing. Bush is flailing about like a trapped rat. It's scary. It is really, what will they do?
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A recent study reports that Asian workers in Saudi Arabia are the victims of systematic abuse and discrimination. Human Rights Watch reports that foreign workers face torture, forced confessions, and unfair trials when they are accused of crimes. In some cases, workers were executed without prior notice to their embassies or families. The report documents substandard living conditions and sexual abuse of female foreign workers. Some of those female workers were serving sentences for illegal pregnancies brought on by rape. Saudi Arabia believes foreign workers in their country should abide by and be tried by Islamic laws and tradition.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation announced that $75 million of retirement funds have gone unclaimed from at least 26,000 U.S. workers. The PBGC is a government agency responsible for taking over pension obligations from bankrupt corporations, mainly in the airline, steel, and transportation industries. Nelson Lichtenstein, labor historian at UC Santa Barbara.
The bigger scandal is that hundreds and thousands of firms have systematically underfunded their pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them, foist them onto the pension board, or just, you know, declare their pension benefit at an end, moving away from defined benefit pensions in which you're guaranteed a certain amount of money to defined contribution plans in which really your fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military can get facelifts, breast enlargements, liposuction, and nose jobs, all on the taxpayer's dime. Dr. Bob Lyons, chief of plastic surgery at Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2%, of U.S. adults fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer from fraud, the most common of which included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams. You've been listening to WIND, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
It's time for another edition of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. The Richie Rich said is facing a terrible dilemma. The Summer Olympics are being held in Greece this year, and naturally, corporate CEOs want to be there and be part of the globe-hopping celebrity scene that swirls around such sporting galas. But gosh darn it, officials are warning that terrorists might make the Olympics a target. Of course, the government is providing a massive security force, including 40,000 police, 7,000 military troops, NATO jets, spy planes, and submarines. But the super wealthy swells of corporatedom are not about to accept the same security level that commoners get. So how can they feel extra special safe? Where there's money, there's always a way. And corporations are resolving their CEOs' Olympic security dilemma by buying luxurious protection packages for them. Top honchos of such outfits as American Express, Citigroup, and McDonald's will stay not in swank hotels, but in specially outfitted yachts to be anchored in the harbor near Athens. Thus, if there's a terrorist attack on the Olympic site, the yachts can flee with their elite passengers. Citigroup, for example, has leased a luxury ship that includes everything from armed guards to a yoga studio for its Olympic-bound executives. At $150,000, it's a pricey deal. That's $150,000 a day, and that doesn't even include fuel for the yacht or food and drink. Another corporate package provides a yacht and onboard security, plus helicopters, bodyguards, armor-plated limousines, and a motorcycle escort to get the special ones to and from the Olympic contests. Guess who gets to subsidize this high-life security cocoon for CEOs? You and me. The corporations will deduct the yacht packages from their income taxes, claiming them to be a necessary cost of doing business. This is Jim Hightower saying, these guys get the gold medal for Olympic-level excess.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuy for SelectQuote, and I just called...
Cheryl Payne.
One of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuy.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuy, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a man 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Example is First Colony Preferred Best Colony 10-year term policy form 1420 and 1421 et al. Underwritten by First Colony Life Insurance Company, a GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Bill O'Reilly over the top! It's like the right wing is just melting down. Here's you've got the Bush administration outing the only deep mole that we have in the entire Al-Qaeda organization. I'm not like privy to intelligence saying that. I mean, this is what we're saying. This is what British intelligence is saying. This is what Pakistani intelligence is saying. The only deep mole we had, you know, they get put on the defensive about, well, you know, you're locking down Washington, D.C. and New York City in anticipation of the Republican National Convention and to grab some headlines away from John Kerry. And based on 4-year-old intelligence, and as soon as the word gets out that they're trying to manipulate things based on old intelligence, they're like flailing around, you know, we got to do something. What are we going to do? Oh, hey, we got this spy over here and he's got some intelligence. Let's out him. And sure enough, you know, off he goes. So right across the spectrum, see, in the last few days, notes the Center for American Progress, their progress report today, it appears Fox News' Bill O'Reilly has outdone even his own previous efforts to insult people. On Thursday, he denigrated Muslims in an effort to attack the new movie Outfoxed. This thing has really got their panties in a wad. I mean, they are. Whoo! Debating reporter Alex Bett, and if you haven't seen the movie Outfoxed, you've got to get it. I mean, you can rent it at your local video store. I bought a copy at BuzzFlash.com. You can't see it in theaters. You can get it on Amazon. You know, check out your local stores. Local stores should have it. If you have any left in your area, I know the corporatist attack on America has. And the American middle class and in the American entrepreneurial, or anybody who wants to be an entrepreneur, the sustained conservative corporate assault on that ever since the 1980s has pretty much wiped out most local businesses in most cities in the United States. But there are still a few, and if there's one in your area, get outfoxed from them. But anyhow, talking about this, O'Reilly says, I could make you, Mr. Block, look like a communist, a fascist, a Muslim, or a mud-wrestling woman. That's interesting. So Muslims are the same as communists, fascists, and mud-wrestling women. For that matter, mud-wrestling women are the same as communists and fascists. I frankly have no problem with mud-wrestling women. Or Muslims, for that matter. Then in a debate, you've got extremists. O'Reilly's a Catholic. Who's blowing up Ireland? Is it the Muslims? No, I'm sorry, it's the Catholics. Well, you say, and then, but then, you know, one of them will say, no, no, it's the Protestants coming in here and trying to run our country. Okay, I've been in Dublin. I've been with a tank following us. You know, tank followed our car for a while. Anyhow, it's no Muslims there, but that small point was missed on O'Reilly. And then this weekend, he gets into this thing with Paul Krugman, the New York Times columnist and professor of economics. I mean, this guy's no dummy. And Krugman is going to read off a quote from O'Reilly, and O'Reilly's like, where did you get that? Have you seen this website? MediaMatters.org. It was put together by David Brock. David Brock is the guy that Richard Mellon Scaif and others, Scaif being the guy who is the eccentric billionaire or multimillionaire from Pennsylvania who has been competing with the Teresa Hines Carey for Philanthropist of the Year, I guess, in Pennsylvania. And also as the publisher of a newspaper there, the newspaper whose editorial page editor wrote a piece the day before he ambushed Teresa Carey saying, what will happen if a conservative reporter corners her? And then he does it, and she tells him to go shove it after she says, "Are you work for that paper? Oh, you're that guy." And much of America applauded, I should add. So anyhow, David Brock had been hired by this guy, the same guy, Scaif, to trash Anita Hill, to write a book about Anita Hill, to help get Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. And he just, you know, he said, that's it, enough. I can't do this anymore. I can't harm my country this way anymore. And he wrote a book called Blinded by the Right, which I highly recommend. It's an amazing book. And he just recently started this organization, Media Matters, mediamatters.org, where they're keeping track of what's going on in the media. Well, what? Says Bill O'Reilly. Keeping track of me? Here's what happened when Krugman pulls out this quote. And on the Tim Russert show, this is Tim Russert's program, I believe it was Sunday night, maybe it was Saturday. Anyhow, this weekend, Paul Krugman and...
Amanda, you want to take and do your own research, garbage, and throwing it out there for the folks.
Said, how dare you have truth? How dare you quote me? That's left-wing garbage.
Do your own research.
No, come
That's
on.
That's out of context
it helps
and you
me.
Know it.
It matters where you get your information.
It is not. They've got the clip.
You are about the most unobjective person on the face of the Media Matters.
Oh,
why don't you just call Fidel? Call him up in Havana.
Oh,
he'll
wonderful.
Tell you what's going on.
Now that we've got the great... And whatever it is, it ends up
matters.
Being a communist.
Oh, my God.
No.
That's like me calling some Klan operation.
Hey.
Why don't I call it Ku Klux Klan?
There we go. Read the quote.
The quote is...
What a bunch of garbage.
So this is the United States with...
What a bunch of Media Matters. That's great. I hope 100,000 people went to MediaMatters.org and checked it out. So why don't I call it Ku Klux Klan? Amazing. I'm assuming that you heard George Bush's elegant comment on the meaning of sovereignty.
The 21st century.
And he's talking. He's at a group of Native Americans speaking. And let me provide the context for this, and this question gets asked.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It means you've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
And they're laughing at him.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
He's got the population rolling. He's got the population. He's got the group in stitches. A captured Al Qaeda computer whiz was emailing his comrades. The question: how low will Bush go to win in 2004? What are the signature achievements of George W. Bush? Captured Al Qaeda computer whiz was emailing his comrades as part of a sting operation to nab other terrorists, writes Corky Samasco of the New York Daily News, when U.S. officials blew his cover. Within hours of Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan's name being publicized Monday, British police launched lightning raids that netted a dozen suspected al-Qaeda terrorists, including one who was nabbed after a high-speed car chase. Now, you know why they did that? I mean, it sure looked good on TV, right? The information that we're cranking up the terror alerts on and grabbing all the headlines away from John Kerry is 4 years old. But we do have a guy who knows something about terror. Here's his name. And as soon as they publicize his name, under background, right? As soon as they publicize his name, he's gone. This guy is toast. He was our spy. It was a sting operation. And the British and the Pakistanis are going, how could you do this to us? How could you do this? Now we've got to arrest everybody that's been talking. We've been following these guys. We've been watching them. We've got this elaborate intelligence operation in place. And in order to try and win the presidency in 2004, you just blew it. The Bush administration just blew up to hear the British spies tell it, the British Home Secretary tell it, the Pakistani Home Secretary tell it, you know, their equivalent to the Secretary of State, we blew off so that George Bush could have a better chance of grabbing the headlines for a couple of weeks and wouldn't look like a fool for issuing a terror alert based on 4-year-old information. We blew off the only deep mole that we had inside al-Qaeda. And that's why they were running around arresting all those people, because they had no choice. They had to, and they don't want to do it that way. They would much rather bust them, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning when they're still in bed and they're not going to offer resistance and they don't have to do high-speed car chases. This completely caught our allies off guard. Now British and Pakistani intelligence officials are furious with the Americans, writes Corky Semesco. Furious for unmasking their super spy, apparently to justify the orange alert and for naming the other captured terror suspects. Pakistani Interior Minister Faisal Saleh Hayat expressed dismay. Right, when a diplomat uses the word dismay, that's about as intense as it gets in diplomatic language. It means they're really upset. Expressed dismay that the trap they had hoped would lead to the capture of other top al-Qaeda leaders, possibly even Osama bin Laden, was sprung too soon. Hayat said, quote, the network is still not finished. It remains, speaking of al-Qaeda, it remains a potent threat to Pakistan and to civilized humanity, end quote. Why did you blow this operation, Bush? British security source says it makes our job harder. The series of events that led to the capture of Khan and other key operatives began June 10th with a botched hit on a Pakistani general in Karachi that left 10 bystanders dead. Police tracked down the stolen getaway van, and the owner gave them the description from the thieves. Now they go through this whole thing about, you know, the order and the sequence and all this, but the bottom line is we outed our own guy. It's incredible. I'd like to share with you, Let's look at some of the signature achievements of George W. Bush. What are some of the things accomplished? I mean, this guy, he's president of the United States. He has been for 3.5 years. A lot of people in the United States, apparently millions and millions of people, think he's a great guy and intend to vote for him. So let's try and figure out what he's done right that would be worthy of that kind of loyalty. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, the true people's radio, helping you win the water cooler wars.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service.
Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm sorry. There's nothing more we can do. No one wants to hear those devastating words from a doctor. But that's what millions of Americans suffering from diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and diabetes will be told if you vote for Ralph Nader. Americans who voted for Nader put Bush in the White House in 2000. As president, George W. put the brakes on embryonic stem cell research, which could lead to revolutionary new treatments and cures. John Kerry vows to push this research forward. George W. Bush is still taking orders from the religious right. He wants to stifle stem cell research. This time, don't help him. Don't vote for Ralph. The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research approved this message. It was not approved by any candidate, nor any candidate's committee. Visit CASCR.org.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Econonomics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Econonomics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. The wonders of having a chat room, a live chat room, when you're doing the program. One of the Diesel Creek in our chat room shares with us the right-wing spin has already begun. Now, keep in mind, on CNN's Late Edition, Condi Rice was on with Wolf Blitzer. And she admitted that she had leaked the name of this guy. That it was the Bush administration, not career intelligence officers, who leaked the name. And she and George Allen, the Republican for Virginia, he's trying to spin this thing later on. And Wolf Blitzer keeps reminding him, hey, Condi Rice confirmed that on background, the administration did release the name of this Muhammad Naeem Noor Khan. And, you know, he's like, but she's saying, but we released it on background. You're not supposed to quote us. You're simply supposed to use it. You're not supposed to tell anybody we told you. That's what on background means. You can use this information, but don't attribute it to me. So the Bush administration wants to get this guy's name out there and blow this operation for political gain. This is Nixon 72 all over again, my friends. Get the information out, blow this for political gain. And now the right-wing spin has begun in our chat room, Diesel Creek, the Newsmax.com website. It'll probably show up on Drudge soon, Placidus Roy notes. New York Times blue cover of key counterterror agent. Right, now that it's obvious that this guy's cover has been blown, they're going to blame it on the New York Times. I can just imagine it now. The right wing talk machine out there. Oh, it's liberal media. Well, where did they get the name from? They got it from Condoleezza Rice. Gee. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, I suppose. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number, by the way, if you would like to call. I know I've been ranting on here, but your comments and thoughts are, of course, always welcome. Or we can just continue ranting. I want to get into the signature accomplishments of the Bush administration. One of them certainly is that this is the worst recovery since the Great Depression. Overall, the economy has lost 1.2 million jobs since March of 2001. The greatest sustained job loss since the Great Depression. We had 32,000 jobs last month. That's a net loss. You have to have 150,000 jobs just to stay at zero, because that's how many people we're adding to the job market every year. People, you know, kids growing up, people living older, living longer, and population growing. Anyhow, 1-866-889-8894. Dave in Humboldt County, California on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Oh, good morning, Tom. I didn't know he was going to put you through. I was just trying to get some information that what you did put out there, that latest Nixon tape, you're apparently the only person in the media that's seen fit to even mention it. How did you learn of that?
I am quite sure it was a New York Times article. I will have to, find that folder, and I've got it right here. Here we are. It's in the New York Times, August 8th. It's actually an Associated Press story. Tape, Nixon mulled Vietnam exit 1972. So you should be able to find it without any problem.
That is very significant. You know, it certainly speaks to the character of some of our top-level Republicans, and I don't know how they held it for so damn long, and it just got out now. But.
Well, I'm amazed that it's out and it's not being, you know, that it wasn't the lead story on the news.
It so much speaks to the character of these folks.
Yeah, and the pathetic job that our news reporting agencies are doing talking about these things. I mean, you know, just It's
been
just
edited off of virtually every search engine, even Ask Jeeves, which is always very dependent on me.
Well, I doubt it's been edited off, Dave. It probably just hasn't made it on yet. Most of them take 24 hours or so. So, you know, I'd give them another day before I start, you know, thinking that they're doing something nefarious, although they may well be. I mean, who knows? Anyhow, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. 29 minutes past the hour, 1-866-889-8894, our number. We'll be right back. For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A recent study reports that Asian workers in Saudi Arabia are the victims of systematic abuse and discrimination. Human Rights Watch reports that foreign workers face torture, forced confessions, and unfair trials when they are accused of crimes. In some cases, workers were executed without prior notice to their embassies or families. The report documents substandard living conditions and sexual abuse of female foreign workers. Some of those female workers were serving sentences for illegal pregnancies brought on by rape. Saudi Arabia believes foreign workers in their country should abide by and be tried by Islamic laws and tradition.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation announced that $75 million of retirement funds have gone unclaimed from at least 26,000 U.S. workers. The PBGC is a government agency responsible for taking over pension obligations from bankrupt corporations, mainly in the airline, steel, and transportation industries. Nelson Lichtenstein, labor historian at UC Santa Barbara.
The bigger scandal is that hundreds and thousands of firms have systematically underfunded their pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them, foist them onto the pension board, or just, you know, declare their pension benefit at an end, moving away from defined benefit pensions in which you're guaranteed a certain amount of money to defined contribution plans in which really your fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military can get facelifts, breast enlargements, liposuction, and nose jobs, all on the taxpayer's dime. Dr. Bob Lyons, chief of plastic surgery at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2% of U.S. adults, fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer from fraud, the most common of which included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the...
Problem is, the industries with the top fifth of wages, that is those industries that pay the most in America, have added how many jobs since January? Zero. Zero, not one, zip, nada, yet none. During the last year, average hourly wages for all workers have fallen when you adjust for inflation. And among workers who have been displaced, as in, their job went to India, their job went to China, their job went to Mexico, their job went to Malaysia. Among those folks, 50%, 57% who have found work were earning less than they did in their old jobs. But that's just the beginning. I have an extraordinary list of the signature achievements of George W. Bush I want to get into in just a second here. First, let's take a couple of calls. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Dave in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. I've been listening to the show this morning, and my brain feels like taffy. I'm not able to understand the thing that's happening with the outing of this Al-Qaeda deep cover guy. I was thinking, how could anybody be so stupid as to do this? It just seems crazy.
They were the Bush administration was facing a political disaster. They had shut down Washington D.C. and New York City, and or parts of both, let's say. And in, as I've been saying all along, I think that this is, you know, practice for, preparation for, and setup for the Republican National Convention, because they don't want there to be protests. But in any case, they shut down these cities. And it turns out that the news, the information that they used was 4 years old, and they had had it for 4 years. I mean, this is old information, right? And so they first tried to say, well, yeah, it's 4 years old, but we just got it. And then it comes out that, no, they've actually had it for, you know, a long, long time. I mean, there might have been some more recent corroboration. And so then they've got this guy who is a mole on the inside of Al-Qaeda, and he's doing this sting operation. And he, one of the people that he has found is one of the guys who did the surveillance in New York City for 9/11. And so they say, okay, we're going to, you know, if they don't out this guy and they don't expose this operation, then, you know, it's going to look like they did this for political purposes, which is why they did it in the first place. And so they blow an operation. You know, and the American people are sitting here going, that sounds very interesting. Yep. You know,
it seems so stupid, unbelievably stupid, that you would give up something that valuable. I mean, couldn't they have thought of some other kind of interim level thing to save their butts from?
You know, you'd have to ask them.
Well, you know, one more thing.
Yeah.
In light of what you've been saying about Nixon today,
yeah,
in that they had to find a way to keep the war going on to stay in power,
yeah,
maybe that might be part of the idea, like a fox, so that they the war will have to go on.
Well, I don't think they needed to do this to continue the war. I mean, Paul Bremer set it up very nicely. The guy, I'm forgetting the name of the guy who preceded Bremer, but he was ready to call elections, as you'll recall. And
yeah.
And in fact, there had actually been some elections in Iraq back in June of last year. And, I mean, right after the invasion, Sadr actually had organized a bunch of them. And in a couple of cities, those guys who were elected are still running the cities. And the guy that Bremer replaced was going to call elections, and boom, the Bush administration, no, we're going to have that. And, you know, we got to stretch this thing out until the election, you know, until November of 2004, so that we can, you know, because they thought that things were going to get better and better. I mean, they had never invaded and occupied a country before. And they all have an amnesia about Vietnam because none of them served. None of them showed up in Vietnam. So... anyway, Dave, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Billy in Santa Cruz. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Hey, guy. How you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. And you?
Yes, well, here you go. I just thought I'd share with you the things that I thought that America had accomplished, and then a couple of things about Alan Keyes.
Okay, great.
So, you know, look, the Bush administration has accomplished a number of things. I mean, they've made it safe for bigotry against gay people.
And against Muslims.
Yep. They've made it really safe for overcharging Americans for your drugs, you know, so that Canada doesn't have to worry about us buying any of those cheap drugs of theirs.
Yeah, they've made it safe for pharmaceutical industry CEOs and people who make their living sitting around by the pool on their butts waiting for the dividend checks to arrive from Glaxo and SmithKline. No offense, by the way, because I know that that's how you make your living.
The problem is not the people who get dividend checks.
Yeah.
The problem is the managers who are, you know, and it's safe for them to continue to make over $100 million.
Yeah.
And when that's happening, I wonder how many kidney operations they're denying. The other, Bush has made it safe, for example. Well, it's made America friendly foreign nations trying to be our friends. We don't have that problem anymore.
Oh, yeah. We've resolved many problems this way.
Well, you know what? I mean, we don't have to worry about the pesky Constitution.
Yeah.
The giving money to churches, tax money to churches, that solved that. We've gotten rid of the Constitution, that old piece of paper.
Yep. Yeah.
So they've accomplished so many wonderful things.
Oh,
it's safe for disease. Disease doesn't have to worry about being conquered anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you wanted to... Billy, are you listening on RadioPower.org, by the way?
I'm listening on a computer.
Yeah. RadioPower.org. I just wanted to let you know that they're doing a fundraiser right now because I know that you are a man of means.
Yeah. And now, who is it that's doing this?
RadioPower.org, one of the web stations that streams our site.
Oh, okay. I'm on the other one. I'm on CRN right at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, you know...
Doesn't mean we can't help RadioPower.org.
There you go. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. One other quick point, guys. I got Victoria from Talk Radio News on the line. I got to get to her.
So we got this great guy, Obama, running in Chicago, a beautiful black man with beautiful sentiments that are not... divisive. So what do? We get this guy, Alan Keyes. Oh, and by the way, he's not from Illinois. Oh, and by the way, when he ran for president, he paid himself a salary, you stupid Republicans.
Well,
he did it to make money.
Did you
and
see?
By the way, he hasn't paid off his debt yet from that campaign. Oh, and by the way, he owes taxes where he lives that he doesn't pay. Oh, and by the way, who the hell needs him?
Yeah, and by the way, his taxes just got paid. Did you see that in the paper?
Only a piece of his taxes just got paid.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like, hey, Mr. Keyes, you want a job?
Yeah, now that I'm running, I'll pretend I'm a good citizen.
Yeah, we'll take care of you.
Republicans are too stupid to know the difference.
It seems, and it's a tragedy. Billy, thanks for the call. Great to hear
from you.
Good talking with you. It's Victoria from the Talk Radio News Network, our correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hey, Victoria, how's Washington today?
Good.
And what's the big news? I've been ranting for an hour and a half about the outing of our only mole, our only deep cover mole in Al Qaeda by the Bush administration in order to try and justify their locking down Washington D.C. and how upset the Pakistanis and British are about it. Is that story playing in Washington as well?
Yes, it is. It's not playing in a huge way, but it is playing in Washington, particularly the aspect that the British and the Pakistanis weren't exactly ready for us to do this, but we just went ahead anyway, that they had ongoing undercover operations that they would have liked to have continued for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But they then had to move forward and make the arrests right then and there. But nevertheless, it does seem as though a tremendous amount of information has been gleaned as a result of the computers that were seized.
Yeah.
So, you know, that seems like it was a good thing. The rest of it's being talked about a little bit, but quite honestly, perhaps not as much as it should be.
Yeah, this weekend, Condi Rice, Wolf Blitzer got her to admit on the record, on the air, that the Bush administration had leaked this guy's name. And she says, but we leaked it on background. You're not supposed to tell anybody it came from us.
Right.
And so today on Newsmax now, they're saying New York Times outs agent, right? The right wingers are already spinning this as it's the fault of the New York Times. You know, it's incredible.
Right. Absolutely. So, of course, it was the fault of the New York Times when Robert Novak published Valerie Plame's name as somebody who worked for the CIA. It wasn't Robert Novak's fault or the administration's fault for leaking it.
Yeah, well, that would have been, I think, the Chicago Sun-Times is, I think, who he writes for. But, yeah, the same.
No, it was in the New York Times.
Oh, it was? No. Oh, okay.
Sorry, no, he appears in the Washington. Well, he appears in either the New York Times or the Washington Post.
I see.
His column appears there because it's syndicated.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, it is fascinating how things are spun. And this is an administration that is excellent at leaking. It knows exactly how to leak, when to leak, where to leak, who to leak from, and who to leak to.
Yeah.
So to suggest that somehow a leak has been misused is a little disingenuous.
Yeah, just a little. What else is going on in Washington, Victoria?
Well, it's fairly quiet today, although tomorrow the House Armed Services Committee will be holding two hearings, the first of which will be on the 9/11 Commission and its report. Thomas Kane, the chairman, I think the vice chairman also will be testifying among some others. And then later in the afternoon, they're holding a hearing on terrorism, the aspect of which I'm not sure about yet, but we'll have Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz there, Wolfie, and Deputy Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Peter Pace. So that's always going to be interesting.
Yeah, Wolfie walks around with this like dark whirlpool over his head.
Right.
Maybe it's from licking his comb too much. I don't know.
I don't even want to think about it. I was eating popcorn at the time, and I haven't recovered since.
I think that was part of the best part of the movie 9/11. For those who haven't seen Fahrenheit 9/11, it's
I will never forget it.
There's a great Wolfie scene in there. Okay, so that's...
Those are the main things, but people are also talking about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And about sort of vague rumors that maybe we'll go in and take them out.
That seemed to be the subtext of the message that Condi wanted to go on TV and talk about this weekend. She was, you know, on a couple of different talk shows. And it is
a little surprising because, you know, you don't want to invade everybody at the same time. You don't want to give the Middle East the reason for thinking, yes, we really do want to take over the world, in case you doubted it. And you also don't really necessarily want to invade a country 50% of the population of which is under 30 or 25 and is very sympathetic to the West.
Yeah.
And yet, if you invade them, they're going to side with their own country.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
We also don't have enough troops to... We probably have enough troops to invade, depending on what we want to do. If we want to take out their nuke facilities, well, they're underground, so that's not going to be too easy. But we certainly don't have enough people to sustain any kind of invasion. And it's not like we would be taking out an administration and having behind it a complete vacuum. They have a functioning semi-democracy.
They have fake
elections, but they have elections. They have a parliament.
Yeah, actually, they have real elections and a real parliament. The problem is that they have sort of the equivalent of our Supreme Court, only it's all these mullahs, and they can overrule any of the laws. That's, you know.
Right, so they have people taken off the ballot.
Right, yeah. But don't you think that really what they're planning on doing is what Israel did with the Iraqi reactor back in the early 90s, late 80s, where they just came in and took it out?
Well, I think we may be thinking of doing that, but it is underground. It's not... It's not going to be that easy.
Is it so far underground and so well protected that a bunker buster bomb won't take it out?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how far underground it is, or whether we know exactly where it is, or whether we know what's where, and whether there may be civilians close by, and whether that's going to be a concern for us, because it actually should be a concern.
Yeah, well, this could be a real
mess. So it's, you know, the best thing to do in this case is probably to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But we know that the Europeans, Britain, France, and Germany, were trying to negotiate something with Iran. It fell through. It didn't go anywhere. But, you know, you keep talking. You just keep talking to people. You can always negotiate.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
until somebody says we don't want to negotiate, and then you negotiate that.
Yeah, that is if you're willing to talk. Yeah, and that's something that this administration has not demonstrated a competence at, shall we say. Victoria Jones, thank you so much for calling today with our update from Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
And take good care of yourself and be safe. And is the traffic easing up at all there, or is it still, the city still locked down?
Well, right downtown it's locked down, but because everybody except me is out of town, it's so easy to get around.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Come Labor Day, it's going to be hell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, and Kevin in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
Great.
I heard you say something earlier that I wanted to comment on, and I think you might have been saying it partially in jest, but I think that you are on to something.
And that was?
You said when you were ranting earlier about the Republican Party or the Bush campaign, I forget the exact words, but something that they don't know what to do, they're being scared. You recall what I'm talking about?
Yeah, what I said was the scary thing, the thing that's frightening to me, frankly, is this metaphor of George Bush as a cornered rat, that if they think that the ship is going down, and not only that the ship is going down, but it's going down in a Nixonian way, that is, their crimes will be exposed, that they're capable of anything. I mean, these guys have demonstrated.
That wasn't the comment that I was referring to, but okay. It was something similar.
Yeah.
It was something to the effect that they're running scared.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they are, and I think that what it is, it's coming from something that I've discussed with you before. We were in somewhat agreement. The left in this country, liberals and progressives, have both, for about 20 years, basically laid down and let happen to us what happened.
Yeah.
But this administration has been so far to the right and so outlandish with what they've done, starting with the theft in Florida, that they woke us up. And they did not expect the response from the left that they're getting, and I think it is scaring them.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think that they thought that the press would start with an awful lot. But I mean, for example, Wolf Blitzer this weekend. I mean, you know, it's a classic example. Wolf Blitzer's got Condi Rice on, and he just puts her in a corner. He says, you know, she's complaining about this information getting out there, and you know, blowing the cover of this agent. And he says, but you leaked it. And her answer, it's amazing. She's got this deer in headlights look, and her answer is, but that was under background. That was on background, you know, which is you know, journalism speak for you're not supposed to tell anybody that we told you that. This is I think a symptom of the possibility that there could be an absolute landslide for the Democrats, progressives, Greens this fall, and B. That, you know, if these guys are really, really scared, you know, firing nukes at Iran, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't. Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call. I got a boogie. Bye now.
Tom Hartman will be speaking out in Santa Fe, New Mexico with We the People, a call to take back America, a Friday evening talk August 27th at the Santa Fe Armory for the Arts, to be followed by a Saturday, August 28th workshop called Waking Up to Personal and Global Transformation. Tom Hartman brings his wit, wisdom, and intelligence to Santa Fe the weekend of August 27th and 28th. Tom Hartman will discuss with us how America faces its greatest threat since a civil war. And Tom Hartman will look at how Western thinking, legends, and myths have caused global problems and endangered democracy and what we can do about it. To get your tickets and more information, call 505-988-2223 in Santa Fe. That's 505-988-2223 or visit greatmystery.org. Tickets for Tom Hartman are also available at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Mega media giant Clear Channel Communications refused to allow an anti-war group to buy space on a billboard in Times Square during the Republican National Convention through Election Day. But public pressure forced Clear Channel to finally accept an ad showing a giant peace dove and a ticker displaying the cost of the war in Iraq in dollars. The 150-foot-long sign will be displayed at Broadway and 42nd Street. WIN correspondent Rebecca Miles reports.
Project Billboard, an anti-war group based in California and interested in encouraging public debate, filed a lawsuit against Clear Channel Communications alleging breach of contract. What is at stake is a billboard advertisement that Project Billboard contracted to run with Clear Channel. The advertisement featured a red, white, blue character of a bomb with the caption, "Democracy is better taught by example, not by war." Clear Channel rejected the first advertisement, saying they were not going to run Bomb Cop in New York City. Project Billboard then replaced the bomb image with a red and white blue dove, accompanied by the same words, but this was also rejected. They claimed that Clear Channel had suggested that the billboard be an image of a little girl waving a flag. Clear Channel Communications is one of the nation's largest media companies with close ties to National Republicans. I asked Deborah Rappaport, founder of the Project Billboard, whether she thought the debate had begun, as Clear Channel Communications' rejection of the billboard had started a flurry of debate in television and newspaper stories.
This was never our intent to get into any sort of a fight like this. We're not unhappy that our message is getting out, but...
...gun, as Clear Channel Communications' rejection of the billboard had started a flurry of debate in television and newspaper stories.
This was never our intent to get into any sort of a fight like this. We're not unhappy that our message is getting out, but we would be many, many, many times happier if it were getting out in the mode that we had chosen.
We put a call in...
...be many, many, many times happier if it were getting out in the mode that we had chosen.
We put a call into Clear Channel Communications for comment, but it by news broadcast had no response. For the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Rebecca Miles in New
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky?
And welcome back. Oh,
how
the good old days. This is, you know, interesting. Interesting perspective. Anyhow, George Kerry does not have any signature achievements. Well, in the next hour, we're going to be returning dead from Iraq to be seen. What's up?
I saw on the news.
Five thinger, did he just get sucked up into it because somebody on his staff had been, you know, taking campaign contributions from these guys?
Well, now, you know how money works, don't you?
Well, I do. And frankly, you know, back when that happened, I was following the news.
He was in on it.
You think so?
Yes, he was in on it. Give me a break, will you?
Well, you know, I always like to think the best of people, Armin.
Well, so do I.
Even John McCain.
You know, I'm the worst of him and W, you know. I was sitting here thinking yesterday, and I was talking to my wife, and there was no mention all during the Cold War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and all this other crap that the rich throw parties for their wars, you know, to get richer. And, you know, take the unemployed and ship them off to fight. But did you ever hear any mention of terrorism and the war on terrorism all during those segments of our history? And during the Cold War, we never once were terrorized by the Russians.
Well,
they never came over here and did anything.
The terror that we had during the Cold War was the Soviet Union. I mean, you know, it's like...
No,
you
know, I know.
You've always got to have an enemy, right? You're defined by your enemy.
Armin,
we got to go. We're out of time here, but thanks for the call. And a good point that you make. And you know, these guys are just creating a new boogeyman. Got to have a boogeyman. Got to have somebody to fight against. Superman had to have Lex Luthor. Otherwise, he would have been boring. Come on.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremes would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service.
I'm Sarah Turner.
Abuse of female foreign workers. Some of those female workers were serving sentences.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation announced that $75 million of retirement funds have gone unclaimed from at least 26,000 U.S. workers. The PBGC is a government agency responsible for taking over pension obligations from bankrupt corporations, mainly in the airline, steel, and transportation industries. Nelson Lichtenstein, labor historian at UC Santa Barbara.
The bigger scandal is that hundreds and thousands of firms have systematically underfunded their pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them or fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military can get facelifts, breast enlargements, liposuction, and nose jobs, all on the taxpayer's dime. Dr. Bob Lyons, chief of plastic surgery at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Dave's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2%, of U.S. adults fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer, included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams. You've been listening to WIND, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering.
Families that are seeing their jobs hauled offshore to faraway havens of low-wage production. Now it's hundreds of thousands and soon to be millions of well-paying white-collar and high-tech jobs that are being shipped overseas by America's wage-busting CEOs. And joblessness is creeping quietly but relentlessly upward, ensnaring families that previously thought that they were solidly entrenched in the upper reaches of the middle class. CEOs are paranoid about any public discussion of this explosive movement, but internally, they giddily exult at the prospect of essentially abandoning our country and its middle class in order to fatten their profits on foreign workers. IBM, which is leading the way, even has coined a corporate euphemism for moving more and more of its white-collar jobs out of the country. Global sourcing. The rush is on. A Microsoft executive has instructed department heads in this software giant to think India and, quote, to pick something to move offshore today. This is deliberate job destruction, but it's also much more. It's an open assault on America's middle class and on America's unifying social ethic that we're all in this together. Corporate executives and their apologists say that this is simply the immutable workings of the market and that, after all, the CEO's sole responsibility is to enrich the bottom line of top shareholders with no obligation to an American middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but if CEOs have no obligation to us, why should we feel any obligation to them? As they separate themselves and their corporate fortunes from the wing of our families, communities, and country, we should begin to separate them from the special tax breaks, enormous subsidies, regulatory favors, political privileges, and all the other advantages that they've gotten from us.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuy for SelectQuote, and I just called
Cheryl Payne,
one of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuy.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuy, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a man 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Example is First Colony Preferred Best Colony 10-year term policy form 1420 and 1420. GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
Thank you.
the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, the conspiracy theories are running amok. Now, here we have the situation where the Bush administration has outed the only deep cover mole that we had in Al-Qaeda, simply so that it didn't look quite so bad that they were raising the terror alert level on four-year-old information just to try and steal headlines away from John Kerry. Or at least that's what many people are suspecting. And you start thinking like this, and it just kind of leads to this kind of logical progression here. One of the folks in our chat room, which you can get to, by the way, by going to TomHartman.com, www.TomHartman, however you spell it, will get you there. And one of the folks, Proletariat, number one, here's a thought. I should call Tom about it. Could it be that they didn't count all the new jobs this go-around? See, there were only 32,000 jobs last month created, and which is a net loss because you have 150,000 people coming into the job market every month. So any number under 150,000 is a negative number, or you subtract it from 150,000 to come up with the net negative number. So we net negatived about 120-some-odd-thousand jobs, right? 128,000 jobs, more or less. And so anyhow, he says, I assume it's a he, that they didn't count all the jobs this go-around so they could save them and add them to September or October numbers so they could jump up and down and talk about turning the corners again. You never know. I mean, there's only going to be two more numbers released. They're going to release the August numbers in September. They'll release the September numbers in October. The October numbers will not be released before the election because, you know, it would be November 5th, November 8th, something like that, that they would be releasing them, and the election's November 2nd. So there's two more months of job statistics to come out. It'll be interesting to see if there's a sudden spike. I kind of doubt it, frankly, but yeah, I wouldn't put anything past them. The Daily Mislead, misleader.org, it's been a longstanding policy of the Justice Department not to comment on ongoing investigations. I mean, this goes back to the 40s, you know. It goes back before. For example, when Deputy Attorney General James Comey Jr. was asked to comment on Justice Department investigation into the outing of Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, as an undercover CIA operative, and the entire CIA, multinational CIA operation that she was running. I mean, this woman was running, they had set up a phony front corporation that was operating in multiple countries. And in those countries, the people in this operation were offering to sell terrorists, you know, weapons and what. I mean, it was a sting operation. And as soon as Valerie Plame got outed, because people who were dealing with these people, they thought that she was involved with this thing. And everybody put two and two together and went, whoa, that's a CIA sting. And boom, they had to shut the whole thing down. So anyhow, when you ask the Justice Department, well, what's going on with that investigation? Their answer is, here's exactly, actually, what Deputy Attorney General James Comey Jr. said. I can't tell you about the details of any ongoing criminal investigation because our goal is to make sure anyone who might not be charged with a crime is not unfairly smeared. Well, that sounds right. Sounds reasonable. Until it came to Sandy Berger. Oh, hey, we can make political hay with this one. Now, he has been acquitted of any wrongdoing, but they abruptly changed their policy. John Ashcroft's division. Initially, career prosecutors handling the Berger investigation advised employees of the National Archives of their policy. Don't discuss the details of an ongoing case. But according to Henry Waxman outed this thing. Just this weekend, Henry Waxman put two and two together and laid it out. You know, on July 27th, Republican staff members of the House Government Oversight Committee, quote, contacted the Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legislative Affairs and asked him to intervene to overrule the judgment of the career prosecutors. Do you get this? Republican members of Congress went to the Justice Department and said, break your own rules, because there will be some benefit to the Republicans if you do this. It will harm the Democrats. Forget about what's right. Forget about what's legal. break your own rules. And sure enough, the right-wing talking machine took it and ran with it and turned it into a pack of lies. No, Sandy Berger didn't stuff anything in his pants or in his socks. It was made up. In short, Republican chairman of the Oversight Committee, Representative Tom Davis, Republican from Virginia, has requested all written or electronic communication about Berger from the archive staff. Members of the staff have also been asked to submit to interviews by the committee. Berger admits he inadvertently removed some photocopies of classified documents from a government reading room. They were in among his papers in his briefcase. But Davis has decided to launch his expedition despite public statements by the 9/11 Commission General Counsel Daniel Marcus that Berger did not withhold any original material from the commission. And the guy's been listening to the right-wing, talkers. Does George Bush really, want a debate on brave and honorable Vietnam service? You know, this new attack ad on John Kerry's Vietnam record. Well, you know, maybe it's time to raise this stuff. First, let's just look at the ad. I mean, we know that John McCain has said, you know, this is wrong. That these are the same tactics that were used against McCain in 2000 by George W. Bush's campaign. That it is the same people smearing Kerry who smeared McCain. Swift votes founded by longtime Texas Bush contributors. This is from Fox News. Many of them are Republicans who have contributed to and backed various Bush campaigns and causes over the decades. And, you know, on it goes. Well, let's just look at who these folks are. First of all, there's the narrator. He starts out the ad. They start out with John Edwards saying, if you want to know about bravery, I don't have the exact quote right in front of me here. If you want to know something about it, if you want to know what John Kerry is made of, you know, just spend 3 minutes, he says, with the men who served with him. Okay, so they play that little clip. And then the narrator says, here's what these men think about John Kerry. And it makes you think that the guys in the TV ad that you're seeing are actually the guys who served with John Kerry. Now, of the 11 guys who served on that boat with John Kerry, 10 of them are still alive. And 9 of those 10 stood with him at the Democratic National Convention. And all of them say, he saved our lives. He's a brave guy. We were there when he earned those medals, and he earned them righteously. So then comes along this guy named George Elliott. And George Elliott, who was not a crewmate of John Kerry's, says, John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam. Well, what else has George Elliott said? Well, in 1996, this is what George Elliott said. Elliott, by the way, was the commander of Kerry's commander. So, you know, he didn't actually know him or work with him. But he knew of him. And here's what he said in 1996. Quote, the fact that he chased an armed enemy down is not something to be looked down upon, but it was an act of courage. And the whole outfit served with honor. There was no question that it was above and beyond anything that we had seen down there in that case at that time frame. It just so happened that this one was so outstanding that the Silver Star was eventually awarded. October 27, 1996, George Elliott, the first person quoted in this Kerry attack ad, or this attack Kerry ad. In 1969, this is what Elliott wrote to describe John Kerry. And I quote, in a combat environment often requiring independent, decisive action, Lieutenant Kerry was unsurpassed. He constantly reviewed tactics and lessons learned in river operations and applied his experience at every opportunity. On one occasion, while in tactical command of a three-boat operation, his units had taken fire from ambush. Lieutenant Kerry rapidly assessed the situation and ordered his units to turn directly into the ambush. This decision resulted in routing the attackers, with several killed in action. Lieutenant Kerry emerges as the acknowledged leader in his peer group. His bearing and appearance are above reproach. He has, of his own volition, learned the Vietnamese language and is instrumental in the successful Vietnamese training program. During the period of this report, Lieutenant Kerry has been awarded the Silver Star Medal, the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart. signed by George Eliot, 18 December 1969. Quoted in the book Tour of Duty by Brinkley, George Eliot. We were trying to pay tribute to Carrie and the others for going above and beyond the call of duty. The Silver Star is always a big deal. From 1969 to 2003, this guy's praising Kerry, and now all of a sudden he comes out and says, John Kerry's not been honest about what happened in Vietnam, and gives no specifics. So then they have Al French. Al French comes out, he's lying about his record. Al French was also not a crewmate of John Kerry's. Then Louis Letson comes on and says, I know John Kerry is lying about his first Purple Heart because I treated him for that injury. Louis Letson, who is now part of the Republican veteran effort to smear Kerry, was not the doctor that signed Kerry's call sheet and was not a Kerry crewmate. Letson offers no proof that he treated Kerry. He's not listed on the documents. You know, this was a firefight on December 2nd, 1968. Regarding Dr. Letson's recollection of Kerry's wound, Michael Meehan, a campaign spokesman, noted that a different person, J.C. Carrion, had signed the sick call sheet summarizing treatment of the injury and asked, who is this guy? How do we know that he's the doctor who treated Kerry? The aides also produced several veterans to attest to Mr. Kerry's bona fides. Letson says that last year, as the Democratic campaign began to heat up, this in 2003, he told friends that he remembered treating one of the candidates many years ago. In response to their questions, Letson said he wrote down his recollections. So it happened in 1968, and last year he decided to write down his recollections, and there's no paper trail to back him up. And the existing paper trail says he wasn't anywhere near John Kerry, but he feels free to go on TV and say this without anything to back it up, and all the evidence indicating that it's a lie. Then comes Van Odell, and he says, John Kerry lied to get his Bronze Star. I know, I was there, I saw what happened. Van Odell was not a crewmate of John Kerry's. He was not there. He was simply not there. And then Jack Chenoweth comes on. Says his account of what happened and what actually happened are the difference between night and day. Jack Chenoweth was not a crewmate of John Kerry's. And then Ray Hoffman comes on and says John Kerry's not been honest. Ray Hoffman was not a crewmate of Kerry's. Adrian Lansdale comes on and says he lacks the capacity to lead. Adrian Lansdale was not a crewmate of John Kerry's. And then Larry Thurlow, when the chips were down, you could not count on John Kerry. Larry Thurlow was not a crewmate of John Kerry's. Are you starting to see a trend here? Bob Elder, John Kerry is no war hero. Bob Elder was not a crewmate of John Kerry's. This is incredible, friends. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. No one wants to hear those devastating words from a doctor. But that's what millions of Americans suffering from diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and diabetes will be told if you vote for Ralph Nader. Americans who voted for Nader put Bush in the White House in 2000. As president, George W. put the brakes on embryonic stem cell research, which could lead to revolutionary new treatments and cures. John Kerry vows to push this research forward. George W. Bush is still taking orders from the religious right. He wants to stifle stem cell research. This time, don't help him. Don't vote for Ralph. The Committee for the Advancement of Stem Cell Research approved this message. It was not approved by any candidate nor any candidate's committee. Visit CASCR.org.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Here's Sitz Dow Bob Report.
The latest figures from the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation say the number of underfunded pension plans dropped last year by 9%. About 1,050 pensions are collectively short some $279 billion, yet the report doesn't paint a complete picture. It only covers pension funds, which are $50 million or more in the red, and conveniently overlooks the massive underfunding that's taken place since 1999.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you would if you'd like to be on the program. Does George Bush really want a debate on brave and honorable Vietnam service? And where are six deferment Dick's medals? Dick Cheney, of course. So Bush insisted he was willing to go to Vietnam, and then he didn't. We'll get into a little more of that in just a minute. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, Preston in Denver, Colorado. On the line, hey, Preston, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Howdy.
I was thinking about, it's amazing how they've been able to frame this discussion as Kerry being a, you know, basically deserting from the war, you know, wanting to make up these three Purple Hearts and, you know, was the shrapnel really that big and that sort of attack. And I don't know, it seems like as I listen to both sides of the debate, it seems, you know, they both have their points. And I don't know, it just seems to divert us from policy issues and things of that nature, this kind of constant scandal and pitting again left against right when there are so many things going on where the population could be united against you know, these corporations who are moving in on our public lands, who are, want to privatize our schools or privatize our libraries. And if they can get us to fight each other on issues like whether or not Kerry was a war hero, then they've won because they've diverted us from these other issues.
Yeah, I agree it's a diversion, and you know, I'm still talking about all these other issues on this program,
yes,
but I agree with you on that, number one. And number two, the problem that you have, that we have, that you and I have, and that everybody listening and that we in America have, is or is situation, let's say, it's not a problem, is that the President of the United States is both the head of government, like a prime minister would be in, for example, Great Britain, but he's also the head of state, like the Queen would be in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And so as the head of state, you want somebody who, certainly as a head of government, you want somebody who's honest. As a head of state, you want somebody who you can be proud of. And away from the fact that personality is a very real dimension in the decision-making process that goes into whether or not people who people are going to vote for. And that's why, you know, the Bush folks looked at Kerry and they said, what's his strongest card? His strongest card is his heroism in Vietnam. Let's take that one apart.
Yeah, and to me, his strongest card is his high rating regarding environmental.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. They say he's a flip-flopper, but he has the most consistently liberal voting record in Congress. You know, he's absolutely consistent in his voting record, but by the way, he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they can't have it both ways. But my point is that I can't allow these kinds of attacks to go unanswered.
Yeah, and I don't blame you, and you certainly do keep it to other issues. But I was thinking, kind of nationwide, seeing this going on, it's very distressing. And I read about how, like, you know, the CIA around the world has been able to get, you know, different ethnic groups to fight each other to make the climate more palpable to different investors.
You know, I think it was Marcus Aurelius who coined, or it was either him or Julius Caesar who coined the phrase "divide and conquer."
Exactly.
This is nothing new.
I kind of see these debates as being kind of our version of these conflicts within populations, so that, you know, the super rich can go on, you know, doing all sorts of things that nobody would accept if they knew about them. Have you seen the film The Corporation by chance?
We saw, Louise and I saw it on Sunday this weekend. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. If anybody is listening, go see The Corporation.
TheCorporation.com. People can find out where it's playing. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it is really a remarkable movie. And as was outfoxed, as was Fahrenheit 9/11, there's just a spate of really good movies out right now. And it's I think it's because the media is not doing its job. People are going, you know, we need information. We need to know what's really going on. And the media is not doing its job.
Okay.
Rama tells me it was Caesar speaking of Gaul when he talked about, alles Galli in divisio tripartite. It's been 35 years since I took Latin. Anyhow, thanks a lot for the call, Preston.
Thank
good
you.
To hear from you. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 1-866-889-8894. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Can you imagine a world in which all kids live healthy, safe, productive, and prosperous lives? Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
A recent study reports that Asian workers in Saudi Arabia are the victims of systematic abuse and discrimination. Human Rights Watch reports that foreign workers face torture, forced confessions, and unfair trials. In some cases, workers were executed without prior notice. The report documents substandard living conditions and sexual abuse of female foreign workers. Some of those female workers were serving sentences for illegal pregnancies brought on by rape. Saudi Arabia believes foreign workers in their country should abide by and be tried by Islamic laws and tradition.
The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation announced that $75 million of retirement funds have gone unclaimed from at least 26,000 U.S. workers. The PBGC is a government agency responsible for taking over pension obligations from bankrupt corporations, mainly in the airline, steel, and transportation industries. Nelson Lichtenstein, labor historian at UC.
Pension obligations, and now they're either trying to get rid of them, foist them onto the pension board, or just, you know, declare their pension benefit at an end, moving away from defined benefit pensions in which you're guaranteed a certain amount of money to defined contribution plans in which really your fate is at the hands of the unpredictable stock market.
The states with the highest number of claims are New York, California, Texas, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Americans who believe they may be eligible for pension money can check for their names at the PBGC website.
Want bigger breasts for free? Join the Army. Army. The New Yorker magazine recently reported that members of all four branches of the military can get facelifts, breast enlargements, liposuction, and nose jobs, all on the taxpayer's dime. Dr. Bob Lyons, chief of plastic surgery at Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, told the magazine that anyone in uniform is eligible. He also said that the process is made available to help surgeons practice. Between 2000 and 2003, military doctors performed 496 breast enlargements on soldiers and their dependents.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2%, of U.S. adults fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer from fraud, the most common of which included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
John Kerry arrived in the Senate of the United States in 1985. In 1986, he was contacted by a Vietnam veteran who alleged that the support network for the CIA-backed Nicaraguan Contras, this from an article in The Nation by David Korn, What's Right with Kerry, that the Contras were dealing drugs into the United States. Remember that little scandal that Ollie North was involved with and friends? Kerry doubted that the Reagan administration would investigate these charges. Surprise, surprise. So he starts pushing for an inquiry. He says, we've got to look into this thing. We've got to figure out what's going on here. And as chairman of the Foreign Relations Subcommittee, he actually got approval to launch a probe into the drug dealings of the Nicaraguan Contras and the CIA's involvement in it. One of Kerry's investigators said, they were fighting us tooth and nail. We had the White House and the CIA against us on one side and our colleagues in the Senate on the other. This was during the Reagan administration. But Kerry told us, keep going. He didn't let this stuff faze him. Kerry expanded the inquiry, looking at Cuba, Cuba's involvement in the drug trade, Haiti, the Bahamas, Honduras, Panama, Noriega. In 1989, he released a report, according to David Korn, slamming the Reagan administration for neglecting or undermining anti-drug efforts in order to pursue other foreign policy objectives. Basically arguing that we had turned a blind eye to Noriega and, you know, drug trafficking and all this stuff. And indicting, essentially, the CIA and the State Department, saying that they knew about this stuff. His critics said he was a conspiracy nut. It took 10 years. 10 years before the Director General of the CIA released two reports acknowledging that the agency had, in fact, worked with suspected drug smugglers to support the Contras. John Kerry had been right. He was vindicated. His thoughts, by the way, on why this election is one of the most important in history. This is a great little clip. It's from when he was speaking before, I forget the name of the association, it was an association of minority reporters.
I believe this is the most important election of our lifetime. Everything is at stake. Jobs, health care, children, America's role in the world, the character of our country. Your role in the next months is as important as at any point in our shared history. Your questioning, your demands for honest answers, your reporting on our progress, your holding us accountable for our promises are indispensable as a force in moving America forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to measure me by my results, not just my rhetoric, by my actions, not just by my words. Results do matter. And let's not forget, as a model for that, the role that so many of your brothers and sisters in the media have played, lifting up communities of color and building one America.
Speaking to minority reporters, John Kerry. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. That was Kerry's first investigation, was blowing open the lid on the Iran-Contra scandal. Nothing that endeared him to the Republicans, I can tell you that. 28 minutes before the hour, let's go to Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico, listening on KTRC. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Something fascinating.
Hey, start over, Chuck. I'm sorry. I had you potted down. You're
sure.
Back up.
I just remember something fascinating from the first term of the Reagan presidency, and I'm sure he little the Alzheimer's or anything, but this is way before a reporter about war service, and he seemed to have confused the fact that he made some films about being a pilot as opposed to actually serving in the Pacific.
Yes, and then they tried to spin it into saying, well, during the war he actually worked with the Army in the in making films for the Army, and it turned out later that that wasn't the case either.
But
he had just been basically the head of the Screen Actors Guild and working undercover for Joe McCarthy.
Exactly, and then coming out and trying to basically destroy the entire film industry in some incredible right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah.
Any rate, nothing new about these guys. I mean, they've got a method.
They do. There's a method to their madness. Thanks, Chuck, for the call. Good to hear from you. 22 minutes before the hour. The second big investigation, right after this thing, Kerry got into this. You know, he's like, you know, okay, hey, this is cool. We can find out what's really going on. And so they launched a second investigation. See, when he was looking into the whole thing with the CIA and the Contras and Ollie North and the drug deals and whatnot, he discovered that Manuel Noriega, the American supported dictator of Panama, was hustling drugs and laundering money, and that it seemed to have to do with a particular bank. And so he decided to look into that. Let me just continue with this. Let's just take a couple calls here. 1-866-889-8894. Troy from Lancaster, Ohio is on the line. Hey, Troy, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just started listening to your program a little bit last week, and I heard you talking about the economy, and I think you were saying at the time last week that how bad the economy is doing, I believe you said. Go ahead.
I have some real concerns about this economy, yeah.
I guess my question is, I'm a little more conservative than I am Democrat, so I guess I'm more Republican than Democrat, but I try to be independent. And in the 90s, I actually did vote for Clinton both times. And I remember in 96, the unemployment rate at that time, and the one just released at the end of last week, was 5.5%. Yeah, I don't remember many people saying how terrible the economy was in the 90s when Clinton was in office. And again, I did vote for him. So I don't understand why it's so terrible now when it was 5.6% then compared to 5.5% now.
Well, there's a couple of reasons, Troy. First of all, during the era of the Clinton administration, they started playing with the numbers. First of all, I would say Bill Clinton economically was a conservative, and his policies in many regards have led to the problems that we're facing right now. I'll just put that on the table. I'm not here to flog any particular political party, pro or con. And Bill Clinton's economic policies were a disaster to the United States, number one. Number two, during that time, I forget which year it was, but it was there in the 90s, they made the decision to stop adding into the unemployment figures those people who had been unemployed more than 18 months. So if you are unemployed, for the first 18 months, they count you as unemployed. After that, you're no longer unemployed. So actually what's been going on for the last, given that we've had only 2 months in this last year where the growth numbers, the growth of jobs was actually above 150,000, which is the replacement rate. There's 150,000 people coming into the job market, 150,000 more coming into the job market every month than who retire or die or whatever, who leave, because the country's population is growing. So we've only had 2 months that were above 150,000. So with the exception of those 2 months, in these last 3 years, there has been this continuous increase in the number of people who are unemployed. And the reason the unemployment figures are going down is because it was more than 18 months ago that it was really bad. And it could still be. I mean, you know, it still is really bad. But, I mean, whatever that peak was, that's when you had a lot of people coming onto the unemployment rolls. And now, 18 months later, those people are no longer being counted. So they're being dropped off the unemployment rolls, even though they haven't gotten a job. If you look at the real unemployment in the United States, it's probably somewhere between 8 and 9%. That's point number one. Point number two is underemployment. The jobs that are being created in this economy, and again, I will blame George W. Bush for running this country into debt. He's run us into a ditch. He's created a trillion-dollar debt that you and me and our children and our children's children are going to have to pay off. The same thing that Ronald Reagan did in his first term in office, and then he spent the following 6 years raising taxes every single year to try and prevent the disaster. But still, we're paying $160 billion this year in interest on the debt that Ronald Reagan ran up in an effort to create economic good times so that, you know, people would think, hey, we should vote for this guy. And Bill Clinton at least did not do that. But in any case, I will blame George Bush for running us into debt. But the job situation is the result of policies that started with Reagan, were continued with Bush Sr., were continued with Bill Clinton, and amplified with Clinton by signing GATT and NAFTA, and were continued and amplified by George W. Bush. What you're looking at is a 23-year experiment in conservative economics that says, if you go back and read the writings and the statements of Alan Greenspan, that his job is to make sure that there's no wage inflation. That is to say that there's a certain level of worker insecurity in the workplace. When Ronald Reagan came into office, 25% of Americans had union jobs, which meant that one person could raise a family, put their kids through school, pay all their medical bills, and have a retirement. Today, the general ratio is that for every person who has a union job, there's one other person who has a job with identical benefits because they have to compete with the union jobs, for employees. So roughly half of America, the peak, by the way, was 35%, 35% of unionization in 1947. And it slowly declined down to 25% by the time Reagan came in as a result of the 1947 I'm forgetting the name of the law, but anyhow, this law that was passed that allowed the right-to-work states. Taft-Hartley. But anyhow, it was 25% when Ronald Reagan came into office. It's 8% right now, which means right now 16% of Americans have those kinds of jobs, and most of them actually are in the government sector, or many
of them. So what, do you believe in unions?
Well, do you believe that corporations should have the right to organize?
The corporations should?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, then why shouldn't people?
Well, I mean, I agree. I think there's some validity to unions, but also there's, of course, like anything else, there's pros and cons. I mean, one of my buddies who I know works at a steel mill, he's in a union, and he can only work so hard. He basically says if he starts doing too much, everybody else comes in and says, whoa, you need to slow down, you need to slow down. And for me, I don't understand why you'd have to slow down because of their union quotas or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't either. That's not the way it's supposed to work, and it's not the way it typically works. I mean, the reality is that it's about power. It's just, Troy, it's just about power. It's if you are going to allow, if you're going to say, okay, if we're all going to agree that people can play the game of business in America, that we can create corporations. I've been creating corporations for 30 years, starting businesses. And in order to create a corporation, you go to the Secretary of State's office and you say, I'd like to incorporate, right? So it's authorized by we the people. In other words, we all got together and said, we are going to allow some of us, whoever wants to start a business. But if they're going to start a business, if they're going to do business, if they're going to extract wealth from our economy and create wealth, which is what we want them to do, they have to do it in a way that is going to benefit our society. You can play the game of business as long as you don't poison people, you don't kill people, and as long as there's some social benefit to what you're doing. And if capital can aggregate, and it does in the form of a corporation, the corporate form is a union. It is a bunch of people getting together and tossing in for their common good, not for anybody else's common good, but exclusively for their common good, their assets, their resources, and their energy, and they're saying, okay, we're going to form a union. It's called a corporation, and go out and interact in the marketplace. Now, that's on the other side of that, you've got labor. You've got everybody who's working, and the people who are working say, well, we would like to be able to say, if you want us to work for you, these are the terms under which we'll work. We really don't think that we should, we're not up for working 70-hour weeks. We'd rather work a 40-hour week. And if you didn't have, and the reality is that if you didn't have, if people didn't have the right to organize, then we would not have 40-hour weeks. It's unions that have brought us the 40-hour week, that have brought us laws that say you can't discriminate against people based on gender or race, that have brought us laws that say you have to have safety in the workplace, and these kinds of things. Because without unchecked, you know, if the power of corporations was absolutely unchecked, as it was in the 1880s, the 1890s, the 1900s, the 1910, 1920s, which led to the union movement in the 1930s, what you would have is a lot of, you know, dead, terrified workers. The nature of pure, raw, unadulterated, what's called laissez-faire capitalism is to have a few very wealthy and powerful people at the top and a whole lot of very terrified, desperate workers at the bottom. And that, and you know, it, Charles Dickens wrote about this. This was what England was like. This is what America was like in the 1880s. This is the history, the 6,000-year history of economies. And so Americans got together, and Europeans as well, by the way, and said, you know, we really think that a middle class would be a good idea. But a middle class isn't a normal thing to come out of an economy that's absolutely unregulated. The normal thing that comes out of an unregulated economy are kings and serfs, rich, powerful, and poor, you know, with no power. And so what we said was, you know, we're going to provide a mechanism by which that power of wealth can be balanced by power in the marketplace, in the labor marketplace, and it's called unions.
Okay. What do you think the solution is? I used to believe in fair trade, but, or open trade, I mean, but anymore I don't know if I do, because it seems if there's open trade, there has to be a fair and balanced field across all the countries, and right now there's not, because, as you know, a company can go to China and employ somebody for 10 cents an hour, you know, let's say a dollar an hour, where here they have to at least pay somebody $5.15 an hour. And so do you think we should have a different trade agreements, or
yes,
or change our, you know, our trade, I guess, treaties to fix this economy?
Yeah, absolutely. In the 1780s, a businessman by the name of Tench Cox, who started the first Chamber of Commerce in the United States, also lobbied for the first tariff, the first barrier that was specifically for the protection of American industries. And economies need to be local, whether it's local to the nation or whether it's local to the state or local to the community. And what you've got is 6 billion people on the planet, 3 billion of them making $2 a day or living on less than that. And that's who we're going to compete with? Come on, it's not realistic. It only benefits the transnational corporations. It screws the workers. And that's the conservative economic agenda, Troy. Got a boogie. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you.
Tom Hartman will be speaking out in Santa Fe, New Mexico with We the People, a call to take back America, a Friday evening talk August 27th at the Santa Fe Armory for the Arts, to be followed by a Saturday, August 28th workshop called Waking Up to Personal and Global Transformation. Tom Hartman brings his wit, wisdom, and intelligence to Santa Fe the weekend of August 27th and 28th. Tom Hartman will discuss with us how America faces its greatest threat since a civil war. And Tom Hartman will look at how Western thinking, legends, and myths have caused global problems and endangered democracy and what we can do about it. To get your tickets and more information, call 505-988-2223 in Santa Fe. That's 505-988-2223 or visit greatmystery.org. Tickets for Tom Hartman are also available at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available at bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
A leading environmentalist says a growing gap between haves and have-nots is at the root of international terrorism. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Resentment is on the rise around the world, according to Paul Ehrlich, and it's directed at the world's wealthiest societies. Ehrlich and his wife Anne have written a new book called One with Nineveh. It argues that the growing gap between rich and poor countries is driving terrorism.
9/11 should have been more than catastrophic enough to open our eyes to dealing with the roots of terrorism. After all, we live in a world where something like 3 billion people live on $2 a day or less, while the average European cow is subsidized to a tune of $2.50 a day.
Ehrlich says he's not justifying acts of terrorism, but he says we should figure out what drives it. Most of the people drawn to terrorist groups come from desperately poor communities in places like Pakistan.
The basic root of terrorism, of course, is that many, many people are getting educated in poor countries but have no prospects for decent livings, and there are even more people who are not educated who basically just feel desperate and see the vast wealth of the rich countries, and that tends to enrage them.
Ehrlich says it's in our own interest to help fight poverty and disease in developing countries.
The gap between the rich and the poor, which is growing in the United States and between nations in many cases, is something we all should be concerned about, because remember, not only are the poor more susceptible to diseases that can move to us, but of course they also are now armed with nuclear weapons, with biological weapons, with chemical weapons, and so they are able to make lots of trouble for us, even if we thought it were ethical for us to continue to live high on the hog while they starve.
That's Paul Ehrlich, author of the new book, One with Nineveh. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Four folks have already gone to TomHartman.com and clicked through to our chat room, or not the chat room, there's a whole bunch of folks in the chat room, but clicked through to our message board and posted an answer to our contest. Our contest being, what is going to be the October surprise that the Bush administration is going to pull out of the hat this year? Or the September surprise, or the August surprise, the contest. We're giving away a copy of Barbara Honegger's brilliant 1980s book, October Surprise, in which she lays out, she being a White House insider during the Reagan administration, the whole deal with George Herbert Walker Bush and Iran to hold the hostages in order to defeat Jimmy Carter. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number here in the last few minutes of the program. Jamie from Albuquerque, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Jamie, what's up?
Hey there, I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you a question here. I was listening to the rather long answer that you had for unions.
Yeah.
And how the heck did the Japanese do it after World War II? Because I don't believe they have unions, do they?
You know, I don't honestly know. I'm quite sure that the Japanese have unions. I'm not an expert on that. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask, because I didn't think they did, but I thought they had a pretty good economy and a pretty decent middle class.
Yeah, they do, and there's a lot of regulation involved in that, and a lot of protectionism involved in that. It's very, very. I in the first or second hour of the program, I talked about doing business in Japan back in 76, 75, 76, and we had to set up a partnership because we couldn't do. You just can't do business, or at least back then you couldn't do business in Japan without having a Japanese partner who owned 51% of the deal. You know.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's government protection rather than individual unions.
Well, there's that. I'm I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I just don't know.
Well,
Jamie?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Reality is there's some things I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. I'll cop to that. Okay, so back to John Kerry. He gets into this. He discovers BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, discovers that this thing run by the ruling family of Abu Dhabi is like this worldwide criminal enterprise. And there's some Democrats get caught up in this thing. Both Henry Kissinger, who was not a Democrat, and Jimmy Carter got involved in this scandal. Clark Clifford, Robert Altman. And, Kerry could not get Congress to act on it, so he takes it to the head prosecutor for New York District Attorney, Robert Morgenthau. And he brought down BCCI. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that this guy has done. Anyhow, it's the end of the day. Thanks so much for being with us here today. Monday, the 9th of August, 2004. 85 days to regime change. Thanks to Louise for producing our program. To Brad for our music. To Shelby for streaming us. To Rama for engineering our program today. Rama Schneider. Thanks to our sponsors, the folks in our chat room. To Jay for our music. And to you for showing up and listening. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our